Well, hello and welcome back to the Bet Victor podcast. So much to cover in this week's. And this week's a special week as well because it is Safer Gambling Week that we're recording this podcast in. It starts Thursday the 19th and runs to the 25th of November. And it's a really good opportunity for us to have a chat around safer gambling. Make sure you do have a little listen through because we've got some interesting guests coming up. As ever, we'll have Gabriel Sutton on. But we're also going to be joined by a very special guest. We've got Bridget Simmons, chairman of the BGC. Really interesting guest. We have a good chat through some of the initiatives that Safer Gambling Week is offering. And like I say, it's something that we always talk about on this podcast, gambling responsibly. But it's great that we've got a week in the year where we can really highlight it and have a good discussion around what tools are available to help you gamble responsibly. Dougie, great to have you with us. How are you keeping?
Yeah, very well, Sam. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. We've got an awful lot to talk about. Run you through. We've got, obviously, Gabriel Sutton. We've mentioned for his Football League shouts. Dougie and me will have a chat about the Premier League as well. But we're going to kick off by talking about the big horse race on Saturday. Is, of course, the Betfair Chaser, a race steeped in history. Who's your favourite previous winner, Dougie? I'm putting you on the spot here. I reckon if I had a bet with myself, I'm going to say Quarto Star is your favourite previous winner.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you there. Quarto Star was unbelievable for Paul Nicholls in this. What was it, 40-1? So you can't look any further than Quarto Star for looking in the history books for this. But, you know, this lineup at the weekend, it's a small field. However, it's an exciting field, and it obviously gives us some clues towards the big one in March.
I'm going to take umbrage a little bit. Now, there are some jumps races this weekend that do have disappointingly small fields. This isn't one of them, okay? Here's my theory. You've got to go back to quite some time, several renewals previously, the last time we had eight or more runners. It usually cuts up. And we have got a story behind every single horse at the front of the market here. You've got a couple in here at big prices that I don't think are going to feature, but we've got Clan de Zobo, last year's King George winner, this year's second favourite for the King George. He's 11-4 for Paul Nicholls, that's won this race more times than I've had hot dinners. You've then got Bristol Demeyer, standing dish in this race, always comes here, a bit of a gold cup for him, and will handle the ground going softer and softer at Haydock. He's a 2-1 shot. And then you've got the favourite, Lost in Translation, a horse that previously won the race and went into the King George, a really exciting prospect, had a little bit of an issue. We don't know really what happened, I don't think, after that. But then he came back to run in the Gold Cup and ran a fantastic effort to finish third. And he's your market leader at 5-4 with Robbie Power booked to ride. The others in the lineup, you could, listen, maybe people can make a case for him. I personally can't. Keeper's Hill for Warren Greatrix. He's a 50-1 shot. And you've got Belge Hill, formerly trained by Willie Mullins, now with Sandy Thompson, Ryan Mannier on, another 50-1 shot. But for me, it focuses on the three at the front of the market. Dougie, where are you plumping? Where's your selection coming in this race?
Well, you know, I've been looking at this race all week, Sam, and I'm going to have to be very boring, but I don't see Lost in Translation being turned over here, to be honest. And my reason behind that is because obviously it's won this race last year. That's the obvious thing that comes out. But I do like Clan de Zobo for obvious reasons. But I think that Paul Nicholls, you know, the main target for that is to go for the treble for the King George Christmas. So I think on this track, Lost in Translation would be my selection ahead of that. I'm not really, I think Bristol Demise, Day in the Sun is probably come and gone. So I think it'll be between the both of those. And if I was going to pick one, even though it's a short price favourite, I think Lost in Translation would be it.
Yeah, I do think Bristol Demise is the horse that every year in this race I write off. Quite often I end up looking a little bit silly for doing just that. However, you mentioned Clan de Zobo's main target being Kempton. However, you Lost in Translation's main target will be the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And I just think if your main target's end of December and you're running in November, I think you're going to have... Paul Nicholls has got the advantage in a way of having that horse a bit further ahead perhaps than you'd need to have Lost in Translation if you're trying to keep him sound for Mark. He obviously disappointed in the King George. I don't necessarily think they'll take that route again. There's no bonus this year owing to COVID. It's understandable. But I like the favourite. I think 5-4 is probably about as short as I'd want to be interested in him. I really like Clan de Zobo. Nicholls is absolutely running hot as anything. Al Dancer ran a good race for Nigel Twiston-Davis, but he did have a fair few disappointments at Cheltenham last week. So I think I'd be quite happy. The three at the front of the market, the one I'd take on this year will be Bristol Demai. You mentioned he's only a year older than Lost in Translation, but he's got a few more miles on the clock.
Well, that's what I mean, on age, it's obviously it looks quite similar, but when you look at the miles on the clock, like you said there, it's he's got a few more. And as I said, I just think that these other two horses are just ahead of him a bit in terms of they're probably approaching the best they can be. I think that's a big season for both.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just counting through it now. And in fairness, you know, Lost in Translation's hardly unexposed, but he has had less racing. So it'll be interesting to see how this race goes. Obviously, you can expect your Gold Cup markets to be shaken up, your King George markets to be shaken up, whatever the result. Dougie, do you want a match bet on the two outsiders just for fun between me and you? Bells Hill or Keeper's Hill, which is going to finish in front of the other?
I would say Bells Hill. It's got the better form line.
I would agree. I think he can plod round and be interesting to see what he does with him. Keeper Hill, I think, just a little bit out of his depth in this particular race. Well, that sums up.
Yeah, he probably has out his depth. Well, he probably has out his depth, to be honest.
I don't think...
When Bells Hill won the Punchestown Gold Cup and the Irish Gold Cup when he was trained by Willie Mullins, so he's definitely got the class form in his book.
Definitely. Right, coming up next, we're going to have a little chat to Gabriel Sutton about everything Football League.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Should I take boosted odds on the big lad to score first or risk a cheeky bet on the new boy?
Listen, back in the day, people were always offering me deals on players. But sometimes, despite the fans screaming for me to sign them and the chairman having the cash, if I wasn't sure, then it wasn't worth the gamble. Sometimes your best bet is not to take the bet at all. Oh, got to run, pal. The dog's just peed in me slippers.
Harry?
Listen to Harry and please gamble responsibly. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Well, great to have Gabriel Sutton with us. Gab, resident Football League man. I appreciate seeing you very busy on social media, chatting to fans of all sorts of clubs during this international break that we've just had. Premier League's back, but been crazy busy, hasn't it, the Football League?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, really busy time. Lots of fixtures coming up. Obviously, we've seen... The governing bodies allow EFL clubs to use five subs for the rest of the season, which has caused quite a bit of controversy.
I think Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola have never been so jealous of managers in League One, Two, and the Championship. Gab, obviously, change of managements as well. Speaking of managements, Wayne Rooney coming in to hold the ship temporarily, at least at Derby, a major shock. We spoke about them a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. They've certainly been massively underachieving at the moment. Derby's got an interim coaching team that includes Wayne Rooney. They've also got Liam Rossini, Shea Given and Justin Walker in temporary charge. But obviously Rooney's going to be, the headline figure, if you like. But yeah, I've been surprised how poorly they've done their bottom of the league. Now, they're actually a point below Wycombe Wanderers, who have got far lesser resources at the moment. So... Derby are massively underachieving and they need to turn things around.
I think Rooney's going to be the man that can do that, Gab. I mean, for all he's a fantastic player, he might get that initial lift, but I just don't see him as a long-term solution, personally.
No, I don't either. I'm personally of the belief that once you finish playing, you need to have a period just focusing on coaching, because that gives you a different perspective before you get into management. I think the problem that Rooney's got is he's been playing football this season. He's been arguably quite an important player for Derby. And I think if you've been focusing on what you're contributing on the pitch, you've got less energy to focus on helping other people and certainly leading coaching sessions. And I just look at managers like Danny Cowley and Ryan Lowe, who have worked their way up the leagues and done fantastic jobs elsewhere in the EFL. And you just think... why aren't more managers who have got that experience and done well at a lower level given the opportunity? Because Rooney is just if Rooney does get that job, he's just getting it off the back of his playing career. And I think a lot of managers will be quite annoyed that we're seeing so few opportunities for lower league managers in the Championship. and yet Rooney can just walk in and say, "I'm Wayne Rooney. Give me the manager's job." And I'm sure that I'm simplifying the situation slightly, but you do feel like there's a bit of an injustice there, really.
Yes. I think that's a point well raised. Right, let's turn to your bets this week, Gab. Three research suggestions for us, and you're kicking off with the Stoke v Huddersfield game.
I am, yeah. I'm very conscious that Stoke look far better without the ball than they do with it. They've scored 11 goals in 5 games with less than 50% possession this season, but 4 goals in 6 with 50% possession or more, which I think is a massive contrast, and I think it almost defines how well Stoke play. They've got Tyrese Campbell, who would be my player in focus for BetVictor for this week. Campbell's always been a very quick player. I think he first came to my attention with a really good loan spell at Shrewsbury a couple of seasons ago, but in recent seasons, he's added a bit of finesse to his pace as well. And that's what I really like about him. They've got James McLean as well, who's also a real transitional threat. So they've got options to really cause problems for teams after turning the ball over. They've got centre-backs in Harry Suter and Danny Bath, who I really like. And I mentioned the possession stats with Stoke. Huddersfield are very much a possession-based side. Carlos Corberan, his side averaged 56% possession this season, which is the second most in the Championship. And he likes to push the fullbacks or wing-back Pippa and Harry Toffolo very high up the pitch. And I think, as we saw against Birmingham a few weeks ago, they can concede clear-cut chances when opponents execute counter-attacks really well, which I expect Stoke to do. So I'm taking Stoke here, and I think if they get the first goal, I expect them to add to that lead, which is why I'm backing them at the -1 handicap at 21-10.
Yeah, price spot on at time of recording. Don't forget they can fluctuate, so do check over at betvictor.com before you bet. Right, next up, you've got a draw no bet for us in League One.
I have. I'm siding with Bristol Rovers here at 13-10 with the draw no bet. I feel like Rovers are underrated here. I watched Swindon play Accrington Stanley on Tuesday night, and it was a bit of a horror show for them defensively, and I'm not necessarily sure that we'll see a repeat of that here, because John Sheridan is very much a defence-first manager. That's how he's been at a lot of his previous clubs, and I think there will be an emphasis on him from his side to tighten things up. So I would expect Matt Baudry, who's another centre-back, to come in, and maybe they could switch to three at the back. But I think with extra defensive focus, I'm not sure they're going to pose much of a threat going forward. So that's why I'm quite fancying Bristol Rovers. The Gaffs look like they're going to appoint Paul Tisdale, which I think is a decent appointment. He's very good at developing saleable assets. Yeah, it looks like it's going to happen. But they've also got some good players for the here and now. They've got Max Aymer as well, who was a key part of Gillingham last season, and Zane Westbrook as well. So under new management, I expect those two players to do very well. They obviously got a win in the EFL Trophy in midweek, and Tommy Widdrington, who's doing a sound job in temporary charge. So I'm in favour of the Gaffs here, but I've taken them via the draw no bet option at 13-10, because if Swindon set up for a point and it's a bit of a stalemate, then at least our stake is returned.
Exactly. Gab always tends to go for more singles, but we will put the price of the treble up at the end just in case anyone's feeling particularly exotic. Right. Your final bet is we're heading to the southwest here. It's a long trip for Oldham down to Exeter.
Yeah, it certainly is, Sam. I think Oldham have shown flashes of potential going forward this season, but they're missing a couple of key forwards in Connor McElhaney and Zach Dernley, who are absent for the 2-0 defeat to Scunthorpe in midweek. They've got Danny Rowe, who's a bit of a physical presence up top, but I think without another quick, nippy forward with a bit of quality alongside it, I think they can be pretty dry going forward. And add that to the issues they've also got, which is a lack of leadership in midfield and defence. They've got a very young squad. I can see problems for Oldham, especially against Exeter, who have got that experience in those areas that we've talked about with regards to Oldham. They've got Rory McCard, Exeter, who can lead from the back. They've got Jake Taylor in midfield, who's a real stalwart. And they've got some quick wide players in Randall Williams and Joel Randall, who I'm a big fan of. They've got a striker in Ryan Bowman, who's a good hold-up player, and creativity in Matt Jay and Archie Collins as well. They're 10 unbeaten, crucially, after a 2-2 draw at Bradford last time out, and I fancy them to continue that run with a win here. So I've gone with Exeter at 8-11.
Gab, thank you as ever. If we are feeling a bit brave, I think the treble pays at the moment, 14-1 at time of recording. So something for everyone there. Gab will be back next week with more predictions. Coming up next, we've got an interview. We've got some more football for you to have a little listen to. Well, this week is Safer Gambling Week, and I'm absolutely delighted to say we're joined on the Bet Victor podcast by Bridget Simmons, who is the chairman of the Betting and Gaming Council, to have a little chat about what it all means and what the purpose of the week is. Bridget, how are you doing?
I'm absolutely fine. Good morning. It's great to talk to you on this, the first day of Safer Gambling Week.
Yeah, we're recording this on the Thursday. The week runs from the 19th to the 25th. And for all it's a week in length, it's a much bigger story than that. Can you just sort of start off, Bridget, by telling us what's the week about?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think it's absolutely important that we say Safer Gambling is not just about a week. It's about 365 days of the year, 24/7. But it gives us an opportunity to raise awareness. And Safer Gambling Week, this is the fourth year that it's been run. It's got two primary objectives. Let's talk about safer gambling and let's talk about what safer gambling absolutely means and raise awareness. And let's tell people where, if they have got difficulties with it, there are resources and more information available. So I think it's really important that we're doing this. I normally, in previous years, obviously there's been huge activation in physical premises and betting shops and bingo clubs because this works with bingo arcades, casinos. This year, sadly, the majority of those are shut. Obviously, we will have visuals in both Scotland and in Wales, but obviously in Scotland we're going to close 500 betting shops probably from tomorrow, which is not good news for the industry. But there is massive activation online, and there's obviously also some really good examples, which I'm sure we'll talk about, of activation that is taking place by our members and by our partners.
You mentioned the time period that the Safer Gambling Week initiative has gone on for. When did your involvement start with the Betting and Gaming Council? And can you just give us a little bit about your background, perhaps prior to joining?
Yeah, sure. So the Betting and Gaming Council is now just a year old. So I was brought on as chairman a year ago. It's an amalgamation of the Remote Gambling Association, of the Association of British Bookmakers, and of the National Casino Forum. So it brings the industry together. We're 90% of the betting and gaming industry in this country. We don't represent the National Lottery. We don't represent arcades, but we're everybody else. And our prime purpose is about raising standards within the industry. And it's about raising standards, particularly around safer gambling. But my background, I ran an organisation called Business and Sport and Leisure for 17 years. I was very much, before trade associations really got involved in talking to government. And it was about, as its name suggests, working with governing bodies of sport, commercial sports organisations, but also the leisure industry, the gaming industry were part of that. This is before we had online. I was very involved in the new Gaming Act when it was introduced in 2005 and how that was all put together. And then I moved on, and for 10 years I was chief executive of the British Beer and Pub Association. So that, again, was about resetting their relationship with government. And certainly we've seen during COVID-19 how important the government believes that pubs are to local communities, which, of course, they are. So if you like, I've worked for quite a long time in the regulated sector. I knew quite a little about the gambling industry before I started, perhaps less about online, but I've learned a lot in the last year.
Yeah, and obviously it's a constantly evolving industry, and I think, yes, the online sector is obviously massive. Going back to safer gambling, I'd love to get your idea on how you would define safer gambling and what it means to you.
Safer gambling means is that people have an understanding of what they're doing and what the risks are about. And this is where I think we have made enormous progress in the last year. So the big companies in the industry have funded YGAM and GAMCARE with £10 million to do an educational piece. It's now a requirement under PSHE, so for schools to do something about pupils understanding risk. And you need to understand that you're not always going to win in any form of gaming. But that it's fun, there's nothing wrong with it. 30 million people take part in betting and gaming activities on a regular basis. The vast majority do it perfectly safely. But this, to me, is about raising awareness of some of the tools that are out there, and whether that is setting your own deposit limits, so saying how much you actually want to spend, whether it's restricting the amount of time that you're going to spend when you're betting or gaming, whether it's understanding that there is a national helpline, which GamCare run, which you can call if you have difficulties, and there's also GamStop, which you can sign up to if you want to decide you don't want to spend any money on gambling. So it's all of these tools that are there, and it's about safer gambling messages, obviously, which is going to be the key to what we're going to be doing in the next week, highlighting those safer gambling messages, raising awareness, and making sure that we as companies, when we think there's going to be a risk, are intervening more with our customers. But this is not meant to be something that frightens people. It's meant to be something that people, just as you would do whether you were opening a bank account, has an understanding of the risks of how you spend your money, how you use your money, and gambles in a safe and responsible way.
I think that's a really nice assessment there, and I really appreciate you explaining it in that way. Something I was going to ask is, obviously, it's been going for a little while now, this initiative. Do you think this year is going to be the biggest, if you like, buy-in in terms of seeing an awful lot more online presence? Obviously, we referenced earlier the issues faced by COVID with physical premises not likely to be as open in certain areas. Do you think we will see a real buy-in from online operators and online promotion across social media?
I think we've seen huge buy-in already, and may I say that BetVictor has been very much at the front of that. I mean, you are using some of your ambassadors to be what you describe as talking heads, from Michael Owen to Harry Redknapp to Jamie Snowden, I think, and Nicola Curry. I think that's really important. So they will be talking about safer gambling, and obviously they are people will have heard of and I hope will listen to. But you've also got this fantastic activation through your sponsorship of Fulham Football Club. They're playing Everton this coming Sunday. It's going to be live on BBC One. And what you've done is you have replaced your branding on the front of their football shirt with a Safer Gambling Week logo, which is great. You're going to have a perimeter board advertising during the day, again, about safe gambling. It's in the match day programme. And you're going to have giant television screen ads. We couldn't ask for more than that. I mean, I'm a real believer in the power of sport. I was on the board of Leicester City, which happens to be my home team, some years ago. I have been involved in sport for most of my working life. I was on the board of Sport England, and I was involved in major national lottery projects. I believe in developing people through sport for life. And actually, I think the sponsorship of sport by so many gambling companies is actually a positive, as long as you put safer gambling at the heart of that work. And obviously, BetVictor has been doing that and does do that, as do all our members. And no doubt you help to both educate the players and the coaches about an understanding of what they can and cannot do, even within the football governing bodies' rules themselves. But also you are playing your part to raise this awareness. And we will also be having all the Champions League clubs are taking part in this. Free Sky Betting, who are their sponsor, there will be Safe Gambling Week banners this week. We have Ascot having a major race meeting as well. So on Friday, they have renamed the Ascot Racecourse, has been a supporting Safer Gambling Week novice steeplechase. So we actually have a race named after Safer Gambling Week, and they're going to have saddle cloths and winners' rugs with Safer Gambling Week branding. So I think it will be real awareness raising. I cannot thank all our companies and members, you know, including BetVictor, for what you are doing to support this. And it's also an opportunity for you to raise awareness within your own teams. And I know many companies are doing this. You're encouraging your teams to think about safer gambling, whether that be intervening more, whether it be putting out more messaging to your customers. That's just as important.
You're going to see plenty of really interesting initiatives across the week from a number of operators. I guess, finally, to finish up, what are you hoping that Safer Gambling Week will achieve? What do you want to come out of it? Is it purely just going to be more conversation starters? Is it going to be a case of that we want to see an uplift in visits to the portal that's there to help people?
It's very interesting. When I came from, if you like, the alcohol industry, the brewing industry, I thought about it a little bit. Lots of people sort of filed up to me and said, oh, you're going to be into gambling. I like to flutter, as if it was a subject they couldn't talk about. And I think for those of people like me, you've got adult children, before they go off to university, you talk to them about how much they drink. I want you to talk to them as well about understanding gambling, particularly understanding gambling online, because obviously with a smartphone, it's too easy to go away and get carried away by this. I hope those conversations will take place this week. I hope those conversations will also take place at an overall awareness level. But this is about raising awareness. It's about raising an awareness of the tools that are there to help you. But it's also saying to people, there's nothing wrong with taking part in gambling activities. I was with an MP visiting a betting shop in Derbyshire a couple of weeks ago. There were lots of people who were clearly on a Friday just enjoying themselves. It's an activity that they wanted to take part in. They take part in it perfectly safely, which I'm sure is true for the majority of your customers. But just let's make sure that we don't get carried away, that we understand what the risks are, that we understand that we're not always going to win, but it is actually something that's quite fun, and we talk about it a little bit more too.
I really appreciate your time. I know you're very, very, very busy this week, and it's going to be a really interesting week for all of us involved in the industry and those of us that are listening to podcasts just as recreational gamblers. Bridget, a huge thanks for your time and your efforts in promoting what proves to be, I think, the biggest ever Safer Gambling Week so far.
Thanks, Dan.
Well, it was fantastic to hear and learn a bit more about Safer Gambling Week from Chairman Bridget Simmons, OBE, who's a fantastic and interesting character to have on the podcast, who went through, I think, in great detail why it's so important we talk about it. Let's do talk about Safer Gambling. Don't forget, make sure you visit safergamblinguk.org, or you can use the free phone number 0808 8020133 and get involved in the hashtag SGWeek20. Loads of great stuff on social media. You'll see our ambassadors popping up all week long with their discussion points around safer gambling. We're going to move on to just have a little chat through some of the weekend's football. Dougie, before we get into the actual games we're going to touch on, I think we need to first of all say big well done to Scotland. Obviously, finally breaking the hoodoo. You must have been delighted.
Yeah, it was good to finally get over the line. Scotland always make it hard for themselves. Should have won the game in the 90 minutes, but yeah, it was good to see the guys doing the business. Not so good the next couple of matches, but that
doesn't
is
matter.
The Scottish
doesn't
way.
Matter. Doesn't matter. Scottish doesn't way. Matter. Going to be some game in the summer when Scotland beat England.
That'll be great. I'm really looking forward to that. It'll be good to be about the office then.
Yeah, it won't be great to be in the next day after we've battered you. But look, we'll have a good chat on the Euros, and we'll have all sorts of preview content way ahead of that. But that's getting ahead of ourselves. Obviously, Dougie, this week everything's changed in the Premier League. We return to domestic action, and the good news is that we're going to have the case that we've got the games back on television without the £15 fee. So I know, for example, you'll be able to see Fulham in action on the BBC against Everton. Sky and BT have then opened up the other games and Amazon Prime. So good news that fans can watch without having to pay. And let's hope potentially that extends down the Football League a bit as well.
Yeah, no, that's the way it should be. It's the proper way to do it, in my opinion. And I can't remember the last time I watched a top flight match on the Beeb. So that'll be interesting. I don't know, other than obviously
Dougie,
highlights and stuff.
Dougie obviously didn't tune in for the epic Palace Bournemouth game last night.
That was a
BBC game. Yeah, they had a couple.
I must have had something in the diary to miss that one.
Probably
apologies.
Washing your hair, I imagine. Right, we move forward past Dougie's hair and on to the schedule then. So Saturday, got the four games on. You've got Newcastle v Chelsea. Newcastle 6-1 at home, 7-2 the draw, 9-20 Chelsea to get the away win. I got Villa, informed Villa versus Birmingham. Villa 6-5. That might be my nap, I think. 5-2 the draw, 9-4 Brighton away. And then the 8 o'clock game is Manchester United 3-10 at home. They face West Brom, who are 9-2 to get the draw, 19-2 the away win. But the feature game we want to talk about, I think it's easily the best game on the Saturday. It's Tottenham Hotspurs facing Manchester City, 16-5 Spurs at home, 29-10 the draw, 4-5 City to get the away win. Oh, I think it's quite a price myself, but let's talk to the man who wants to give his opinion. Come on then, Dougie, bit of a clash here, I think, safe to say the least, quality clash.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. This should be an excellent match. Looking at both sides, I think Tottenham have started to get themselves a nice bit of momentum. Mourinho certainly is starting to implement his ideas on the side, and they've got a very strong squad there. They've probably got quality in each position, a couple of good players in each position. So he's definitely implemented his philosophy, Mourinho. In Manchester City travel here, and I'm probably not alone in saying this, but I still can't really work City out. You know, some weeks they're sublime, and next weeks they sort of struggle. So I'm really, it's hard to get a handle on them. Looking at this match, I really quite fancy Tottenham to get something here. Now, I don't know if that'll be a result, but I think Tottenham could definitely take something from City here. I think there'll be goals. I think it'll be a good match. I think it'll live up to its billing, hopefully.
Yeah, obviously every team's got injury issues at the moment, I'm sure. Jose Mourinho wasn't delighted to get the news that Matt Doherty's going to have to isolate for a period of time. I'm sure he was even less pleased to see Harry Kane on the pitch for as much England time as he did. But, you know, that's what happens in the international break. Unfortunately, if you're a domestic manager, it must be pure hell. Some interesting markets to reference that are popular with you guys at the moment. The to win and both teams to score market, 11-2. Spurs, 19-5. The draw, 11-5. City, both teams to score. I think, given how leaky they've been this season, that might be of interest to a few people out there. Dougie, anything in the markets you want to talk about? Anything catch your eye?
Yeah, I quite like the idea about betting Spurs here, the double chance. I think they'll get a result. You know, Kane is starting to come into his goal-scoring form. I think we spoke about that over the last couple of weeks, how he maybe started a little bit slower than expected. But now he's starting to find the net, so I think he'll have a big influence in this. Obviously, Son as well. The pair of them have been causing defences all sorts of problems this season. And as he said, this City defence isn't exactly watertight. So I think Spurs will take something. So I would be looking at them in the double chance market, I think.
Yeah, that's an interesting angle. I'm impressed with Spurs. They're still not consistent enough for me. That's my one worry I'd have as a Spurs backer in any game. In a way, I'd almost rather perhaps back them at a price to beat City than back them in a silly way when you look retrospectively to beat West Brom. Now, obviously, they managed to beat West Brom, but God, it was a struggle watching them. So it's a difficult one. You double chance price, Dougie. Spurs and draw 20-21. Happy with that price?
Yeah, I think that's okay. I think we have to add the caveat in of Son. Now, I don't know if this has progressed since we've sat down and spoke, but they did organise a private jet for him to come back after his international duty, and now he's getting a COVID test. So obviously, Spurs fans will be really interesting in seeing how that pans out, because he'll have a massive influence in this game.
That's a new feature Sky could do, couldn't they? Sky Sports News could stream live COVID test results of players. We could have deadline day, Jim White, all of the works. It seems absolutely mad, doesn't it, at the moment, that international football even
It's massively risky to these players, you know, because you now know when they come back from international duty, it's going to happen to some, you know, it's definitely going to happen to some players.
And obviously,
so it is a big risk.
And obviously, touch with their fit and healthy young men, and you know, they've been able to fight it off in previous issues of it. But it does raise the point that it's probably a good time to talk about it. Liverpool's injury crisis. We're going to go on to touch on their game with Leicester, but I can't help but think that there's so much football at the moment, Dougie, and it's just not going to stop now for about 3 years because of the tournament backlogs we're going to have. Do you think there's any way that we could see obviously the Football League are bringing back the five substitutes. Do you think the Premier League will crack to Pep and Guardiola, Pep and Klopp's request to bring back five substitutes?
I'm not sure, but I'm not surprised that it's Klopp and Pep that are sort of banging the drum on this, because they are ultimately the teams that are going to benefit the most because they've got the most talented squads. I don't know how that has an impact. You know, I don't see that it's got any great value. I know some leagues are still doing it. Premier League's dropped it. You know. I don't know what the evidence is for having them against, you know, not having them. So it's a difficult one.
My kind of argument back would be that neither manager's managed to use all three in every game this season. And I kind of think to myself, you want five, but you're not even using the three. So start using the three and then maybe you'd have a bit more of a reason to be able to back that up. Right, let's roll on to Sunday, Dougie. It's a busy schedule. As we mentioned, Fulham v Everton on the BBC. Fulham 31-10, 27-10 the draw, 20-23 Everton to get the away win. Next up is a tough game for Sheffield United under a bit of pressure. 2-1 to get the win, 11-5 the draw, 29-20 West Ham to win. And then we're going to talk about two games on the Sunday in a bit of detail. The first one up, Leeds United 85-40, 13-5 the draw, 6-5 Arsenal to get the win. Dougie, Leeds, the great entertainers, starting to, I think, not get found out, but I think certainly that the measure of them is there. And Arsenal, I just don't know with Arsenal. One day there'll be a consistent side again, and I think Arteta's the man to do it. But in a game of this context, apart from maybe looking at the overs market, I'm probably going to leave this alone. I don't think I've got a strong view, so I won't be having a bet. But give me your take.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the opposite here. I have quite a strong view. This is all it's all down to Mikel Arteta here and how he reads this. And I'm pretty confident that he's good enough to see that attacking Leeds isn't the best thing to do. I mean, Leeds do very well against teams that try and play against them. They've got a lot of energy there. They're able to win the key battles and really smother teams, and they create a lot of chances. But they also concede chances as well. So I think this could really play into Arteta's hands. If he can get it into his players' heads that they need to go through a bit of pain, they need to sort of soak up a bit of pressure, I think they'll be able to hit Leeds in a counter-attack and score. I do fancy Arsenal here. I think Arteta will set up like that. It hasn't been the case that Arsenal have been the Arsenal of old this season, where they've attacked
the top. Whoa. Hang on a minute. I know the international break's been on, and I know you were probably too busy thinking about Scotland qualifying, but let's not forget, Villa put three past them before the break. Leicester managed to get the 1-0 away win from them. I know they beat Manchester United in the in-between time, but of those two fixtures, and
yeah,
a couple
exactly.
of European ones. But
what you're saying here is the way those two games panned out is that Arsenal got beat because they were so aggressive going forward and they got caught in a counter-attack. If Mikel Arteta reverses that, sets his stall out, soaks it up from Leeds, he will then be able to attack a very vulnerable Leeds defence on the counter.
Interesting. Leeds, of course, coming to this, their last game before the international break was against the mighty Crystal Palace, who dispatched them 4-1. But Leeds were very unlucky in that game, and I say that as a Palace fan. We had a classic case of VAR getting involved, but they shipped four in the last two games, Dougie. Obviously, Leicester put four past them. Again, I'm not sure whether it's going to be the case that Leeds, because they have kept goals down to a minimum. You know, they kept Man City to one.
I'm not all that concerned about these sort of these previous results, you know, for either side, because I'm just looking at their style of play. And I think if Arteta gets this right, and if people, you know, think he will, then I think there's definitely an argument here. If Arsenal are clever and go about their business, they'll be able to invite Leeds on and, as I say, exploit them on the counter. So, you know, every game this season is playing out a bit differently. You're getting a lot of shocked results, a lot of different results. And a lot of the time it's down to these teams that are set up to play in a specific sort of way. I mean, we've seen it with Everton early on in the season. You know, their playbook's sort of been read a little because their squad's so lean and they can't really change it. But every team has a certain style, and I think with these two, there's a definite scenario there if Arteta's clever and he just, you know, he switches, you know, his methods and allows Leeds to come at Arsenal, which obviously isn't Arsenal's strong suit. Arsenal are a good side going forward, but Arteta has done this in specific matches. He's sort of changed his tack and sat in. And I think this is the perfect chance for him to do it because you know you're going to get joy against this Leeds defence.
Got some boosts on the site for this game, just to mention Leeds United score header 31-10. Lacazette to score first 9-2. Arsenal to win, both teams to score 3-1. Jack Harrison to be shown a cards enhanced to 12-1. Loads on there. So if you find anything you fancy, do check them out on the site. Right, Dougie, the other game on Sunday to talk about. I'm going to need one eye on NFL Red Zone, the other eye on this one. Liverpool v Leicester City. Liverpool are even money to win this one. Injury plagued Liverpool, even money, 11-4 the draw, 13-5 Brendan Rodgers to exact some more revenge over his former side. What are you saying, Dougie? The Fox is going to cause another mini upset?
Well, yeah, this for me, this is the game of the weekend. I'm really, really looking forward to this. I think it's a fascinating match. And, you know, Liverpool, everyone knows that Liverpool come into this with a few key players missing. They have got that one sort of chink of light in Diogo Jota. His emergence has happened as, you know, players have dropped out the side. And he'll have a massive 90 minutes if Liverpool are to get anything from this. I mean, great form. But I do actually fancy Leicester to take something here. I just think that this match plays into Brendan Rodgers' hands. I remember them at the Emirates a couple of weeks ago. You know, they just soaked it up and hitting the counter-attack in the last 5 minutes. A beautiful smash-and-grab victory. So I think they'll have a massive threat on the counter-attack. And with this defence of Liverpool's, you know, very, very weak in comparison to what it'd be like if they had it at full strength, I think Leicester could pick them off. I think it'll be a very entertaining match. However, I think, you know, we could. I don't think it'll be the smash and grab like they had at the Emirates, but I think they could win it by the odd goal.
4-5 for draw Leicester. Would that be your suggested pick?
I think that's too short. I think I would just go Leicester win.
Wow, Dougie's just going to go outright for the mini upset. For me in this game, yeah, I think Leicester have got a huge advantage that we probably haven't touched on in recent podcasts. Jamie Vardy retiring from international football.
Yeah.
He's had a lovely week at home. You know, Liverpool's squad have been all round the globe getting involved or been on injury tables. And with their defence depleted, I think he'll fancy his chances. I know Dougie will come on to talk about our goal scorer bets, but is Jamie Vardy in your reckoning?
Oh, yeah. Jamie Vardy, absolutely. I'm a massive fan of Vardy. I love the way he plays. I just want to touch on, I dug out a stat for you here, Sam. Right?
Oh, I love a stat. Go on, Dougie.
This is very interesting. So, over 76% of Leicester's goals have came in the second half of matches.
Wow.
And that tells its own story about the sort of counter-attack, how strong they are in the counter-attack, because they can soak it up for long periods.
Okay, final games just to touch on before we get our best bets of the weekend. Dougie, Monday, we got Burnley v Crystal Palace. Burnley 7-4, 21-10 the draw, 7-4 Palace away at Burnley. It's a massive price. Then we move on, the late game on Monday, which I'll be tuned in for. I think this is very interesting clash of styles. Wolves host Southampton, 11-8 Wolves, 11-5 the draw, 85-40 Southampton. Anything in either of those games you want to mention, Dougie, at all, or just a case of a watching brief?
The latter match should be a really good match, but I had a look at that earlier, and it's very, very difficult. You know, the way that Wolves set up, and Southampton are playing well. But equally, Wolves are a very strong side. Yeah, very hard one to call for me, that.
Sometimes it's best just to sit back, relax, don't have a bet,
so.
And just enjoy,
I think so.
Enjoy
it'll be,
the
it'll
game.
It'll be a good enough match to sit back and watch. I think it'll be quite entertaining. And if you're ever looking at sort of betting anything in the future, maybe just take some information from it. It could point in the right direction further down the line.
Yeah, exactly. And we're lucky enough that we're going to be able to watch all these games. Right. Dougie's going to have a quick think on his best bet of the weekend and his goal scorer, anytime shout. I'll give you mine. So, Fulham v Everton. We've got this on the BBC. Great to see live football back on the Beeb. Takes you back to when you were much younger. Dougie, I'm going to put up our man Calvert-Lewin. He's 21-20 anytime against Fulham. Fulham side that can ship goals. I think that's a great shout. And it sounds like Richarlison's going to be back in there as well. So you've got a bit of creativity added to the mix. So he's going to be my anytime shout. As for my best bet of the weekend, well, I'm debating this a little bit. I've sort of chopped and changed past a few. I do quite like your shout of Leicester to beat Liverpool at the prices. Not sure. I think Liverpool, you know, you don't become champions without being able to grind out a result. So I can see them nicking a point there, at least, even with plenty of injuries. I'm going to put Villa up to beat Brighton at 6-5. I think Jack Grealish, we saw yet again why we're all clamouring for Southgate to start him. Brilliant player. He should be absolutely buzzing off that. Brighton don't inspire me that much, and I think 6-5 is a big price for Villa to get the home win. Your shouts, please, Dougie.
Okay, so for my goal scorer bet, it would be Vardy.
Yeah, Jamie Vardy, fair enough.
And I'm putting my faith in Mikel Arteta. I'm sure Mikel Arteta is listening to this, thinking that guy is talking complete sense. I'm going to set up to be very defensive and hit Leeds in the counter. So I think he'll do just that, and I think Leeds will, Arsenal will take 3 points home to the Emirates.
Right, brilliant. Massive thank you, Dougie. I hope you've all enjoyed the podcast. And of course, as I said earlier, it's Safer Gambling Week, so do make use of all the resources available. Brilliant stuff on the BetVictor portal as well to check out. But, you know, the main message is get involved in Safer Gambling Week. Check out the hashtags. Get involved on the website, safergamblinguk.org. And have a fantastic weekend enjoying some brilliant, brilliant sport.